When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here's the play of the play. He is out. Oh, he is out. What a play by Derek Jeter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Let's get to the Mets for a second, who took care of business against Minnesota 15-2, and the offense absolutely erupted. I mean, you know, they were held down for the last two games in Atlanta, but they reawoken last night. Two hits for Lindor, Nimmo, Martinez, two for Alonso. Another home run for him. That's back-to-back games. Winker with his first hit as a Met. Taylor came in relief in defense. He got two hits. McNeil got two hits. Torrens got three hits. I mean, up and down the lineup. That's why this team is special. To me, is the nature of 1-9 is as good as anyone in baseball. Sure, they don't have the middle of the lineup like the Yankees do, but they are far more complete, and they have been for a month, up and down. You are getting career years from, and I even say Iglesias, and he didn't play yesterday. Iglesias has been unbelievable career year. Vientos, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And I believe in this team. And I'm telling you right now, I don't understand what happened last night. Because to me, it is settled. Buddha needs to be in this bullpen. So why on earth, after a good performance from Quintana, who's found his curveball over the last two starts, his curveball was devastating last night. His curveball befuddled the New York Yankees two starts ago. I don't know why on earth you would go to Buddha with the lead they had, with an 11-run lead. Why on earth would you pitch Buddha in that game? Why not save him for an opportunity? And the reason why is because I understand why they pitched him three innings. I'm okay with the innings. Buddha should be pitching three innings. That's part of it. Saves the bullpen, right, after a couple days or whatever. And he can be a weapon, get you right to your closer, or just finish a game for you. I love the weapon he's become in the bullpen. The idea he can give you three innings is what's special. Why waste that performance with an 11-run lead? Throw the dregs of the bullpen. Why are you throwing Buddha, one of your better weapons in the bullpen, in this game? And it's to keep him regular. Because the option of going back to the bullpen, back to the rotation, is still on the table. And I don't know why. He should not be back in the rotation. And if they need another starting pitcher, which clearly they do, go get one at the trade deadline and help this team. Keep your best weapon in the bullpen. Keep the guy who can go. I have no problem throwing three innings. I understand the point as well. We want to keep his pitch count up in case he has to go back to the bullpen. Forget that. He's in the bullpen. Let him throw three innings. Keep his pitch count up and let him be this dynamic weapon. Maybe sometimes you need him to get a little bit. Sometimes you need him to get three innings. I'm open to that. Why are you throwing him in this kind of game? Why are you wasting those three innings now to keep him on some regular rotation? Let him pitch to him. You might need him tomorrow for three innings. This game was long decided. Why are you throwing your bet? Why are you wasting three innings from Buddha? Now you can't pitch him for a couple days. He should no longer be thought of as someone heading to the rotation. If they don't come up with one today, then I guess that's back on the table. But they have 15 hours now to go out and get a starting pitcher to help this rotation. Why would you not help bolster this team? Go trade for one. And I know, listen, I know the asking prices are astronomical. And what they got for Kikuchi, what Toronto got for Kikuchi, makes no freaking sense. All right, some of the deals here, the Yankees are waiting to see if the things will come down. That's why Nestor Cortez's name has been bandied about in trades, because they think his value is twice as much If you go to whatever dopey websites give you the prospect value and people, those fake trade websites, he's got double the value, if not almost triple the value of Kikuchi. That's why the Yankees are looking to sell him. They're going to go out a starting pitcher who's pitching better and trade Nestor Cortez in a market where starting pitchers are getting a ton. I get it. It's not an easy trade to make. But go out there and figure out how to bet. You need to go out there and get someone. Go pay for a Snell. I heard Evan today talking about Scherzer. Go pay for Scherzer. I'm open to anything. Buddo is too important to the bullpen. Go get a bullpen guy too. Go get a rotation piece. Go make trades and bolster this team that has shown you at every turn that they are good enough to compete, that they are good enough to be a playoff team, they are good enough to win. This lineup is special. This lineup, top to bottom, you don't know if you'll get this kind of offense again. You didn't see it for the first month of the season. You didn't, more than that, the first 2 months of the season. You didn't see it all last year. Who knows what you'll see next year? Who knows if Alonso's on this team? Who knows what everyone thinks they're going to go out with Juan Soto. You don't know you're going to get Juan Soto. Like, who knows what this offense looks like? The offense right now is dynamic, top to bottom. Go out there. You've added Winker. Nice. Right? Maton is a nice little reliever. Go get another one of those. Maybe two of those. Someone even better than that would be great. And go get a starting pitcher that you can throw in a start. You should be there for Flaherty. Honestly, you should be there for Skubal. Why not? Why not trade these prospects you covet so much for a young, controllable starting pitcher? It makes no sense. Go do it. You're right. It's going to be astronomical. I get it. You're going to have them under control for a couple of years. I'm trying to win right now for both of these teams. I'm in the exact same position for both of these teams. I want to win now. The Mets had a different agenda going in. I understand. I was on board with it on some level. But when what's happening happens, when the special nature of what this offense is doing, when you have your ace coming back and you've been predicated on Senga coming back, and then he gets hurt in his first start, you can't just say, well, that was our move and it didn't work out. We were playing well without him. We were playing well before he came back. We'll play now without him after he's been hurt. We'll see how it goes. The offense has been scoring runs. Maybe we'll just out-hit all of our competition and win that way. That's a faulty thinking. And especially with Buddo, why in the world did he pitch last night? He should not be pitching. Not in a blowout. I have no problem with the three innings, but use him tactically. There should be no other thought of keeping him on rotation or keep him on, like, there's one thought of Buddo. Bullpen, weapon. That's it. That's it. Go out there and add to your rotation. Go out there and make a trade and bring in a starting pitcher who can help you. Do not move Buddo. And don't waste him in performances like that. He's such a weapon. He's such a weapon. He's been so good for this team. And he can do multiple things in that bullpen. And I get wanting to keep him, but I don't want to keep him stretched out for a possible rotation spot. I want to keep him stretched out because his ability to get 2-3 innings is a huge weapon inside a game. And come a playoff game, you could put him in the fourth inning and pitch him to the seventh. You could put him in the fifth inning and possibly stretch him to your closer. That's what you're looking to do. Not looking to start him. Not anymore. His stuff plays better in the bullpen. He's better suited for the bullpen. He's been more economical in the bullpen. He's had better control in the bullpen. His changeup's been better in the bullpen. He's been a different pitcher. Why change what you're seeing right in front of your face? He is a weapon in this bullpen. You need them, don't you? Pitching him and wasting him in an 11-0 game is stupid. And still even considering him for the rotation makes no sense. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Carmen and Lyndon. What's up, Carmen?
Hey, Mr. Chris McMonagle.
That is me.
It's always a pleasure. That's you, and it's always a pleasure. You do a great job. A pleasure listening to you.
Oh, thank you.
And I also want to mention I also want to mention Marco, his nice attitude and the way he takes calls. I couldn't figure out why you were going so long tonight without taking calls, and he explained to me that I'm surprised that you didn't have a lot of calls, because I call every night, and usually it's a half hour wait. But anyway, you do a great job.
Well, thank you.
You do a great job. Maybe because it's Monday night, back to work, and people are tired. But anyway, maybe. I just wanted to mention one thing, Big Mac. The Yankees scored 14 runs, and the Mets scored 15, 29 runs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not asking you to look up. I don't remember, and I'm a Yankee fan, but I also love to see the Mets do good. I don't remember when they ever scored 29 runs the same night in a win. It must be, I don't know, years ago. Do you have any idea in the last time they scored both, together 29 runs and had wins on the same night?
I have no idea. I mean, that's a lot. 29 is a lot. That's probably, if it's not the most, it's certainly up there for the most.
Okay, thank you.
But yeah,
stupid question.
It's not a stupid question. It's just something I off the top of my head, I can't remember a specific night where both teams scored that many. I'm trying to think of just Subway Series games that were high scoring, because that would obviously make it easy. I'm trying to think of games they played against each other where it was like 12-10 or something like that. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Yeah, but
there probably are some.
I wasn't even thinking of the Subway Series. But even if you combine that, but 15 and 29 runs, maybe it's never. Anyway, I appreciate everything you just said about the Mets and about the Yankees. I agree with you 99.9% of the time, and have a good night, and thanks for your time. And thank you to Marco for being so nice and such a great taker of the call. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Well, Marco's the update guy. That's Alex you spoke to, who's so cavalierly telling you nobody wants to talk to me. I appreciate that. 888-808-1019. I'm getting on him. Louie in L.A. What's up, Louie?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, buddy. Been a long-time fan of you guys since your days of Carton and Roberts.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you did a great job. So my call was with the Mets, two things. Gary Cohn had said on the Fan today was that Buddha was up when it was like 5-1 or 6-1, so they didn't want to send him back down to, once they figure once he's up, he's got to
No, pitch. I know, but I get it, but just even 5-1, why are we warming him up in that spot? Like,
well,
I want to use him as a tactical weapon. I want to use him as a weapon.
Yeah, for sure. And the second point, I want to make a trade proposal. I don't usually do this, but I think with the emergence of Mark Vientos, Brett Beatty should be a big piece in that Tara Skubal trade. I think you could trade a Beatty and maybe a Parada with two other prospects, maybe even less if you take back Javier Baez's contract, and get a guy like Skubal, but like you said, he's got control for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, taking back his contract would be, if they were open to that kind of thing, yes, that would limit the amount of prospects. And that's up Steve Cohen's alley. That would be perfect.
Right, that's right
Steve
up his
Cohen.
Alley.
Yeah. For Skubal, it's going to cost you one of your top three. I mean, I don't know where they consider Beatty, because he's played, but it's probably Beatty and one of the Jet Williams, Acuna, or the other prospect you got from Houston. I always forget his name.
Gilbert.
Gilbert. It's going to cost you probably Beatty and one of them. Like, that's how.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah. I mean, probably. And now, if you take Baez's contract, no. If that's something,
right.
if they're open to that. But no, if it's just straight prospects, yeah, it's probably going to cost you two of those guys. Beatty,
sure.
And one of those, because Beatty, I'd have no problem. I wouldn't even, I've seen Beatty. They have a third baseman now in Vientos. I would have no problem making that trade. I'd still make it. That's why you get these guys. Like it's to fill up your roster, no doubt, but it's also to provide you with options to make trades like this. I'm not saying trade him willy-nilly for nobody. You're talking about a young starting pitcher. Then, by the way, the Mets don't have a rotation next year. Hello? McFly? The Mets don't have a rotation next year. Severino's a one-year deal. Quintana's contract's up. Manaea's a one-year deal. They've got Senga. And I guess Scott, if he's healthy. That's it. They've got, you know, Tylor McGill, Peterson, Buto. But they don't have a real rotation right now. Go out and add a young ace starting pitcher. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris. I always want to talk to you, Chris. You know that.
Well, thank you.
Don't worry.
I appreciate that, buddy.
Before I make the Buto point, it's funny. I was listening to the Philly post game today, and this guy Ricky Pitalico, who's like the, you know, he's like an extra meat pitcher for the Phillies. He actually said that since the London series, the reason they're 20-21 since the London series, and the London series killed their rhythm,
yeah,
which I thought was ridiculous, considering the Mets are 28-14 in the same time frame.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know if that's true or not, but I mean, what. You know, what one man's trash is another man's treasure. I mean, just because it affected the Mets in one way doesn't mean it had to affect Philadelphia in the same way. But I hear you say, listen, they've been average. It's amazing. When you look at who the best teams were in baseball at that time period, the Yankees, the Orioles, Philadelphia, the Dodgers. The Dodgers have been a little bit more consistent, but not very, very good. But like those three teams had the best record. Those are the three best records in baseball. Yankees, Orioles, Philadelphia, and for the last month, all of them have struggled. All of them. And Philadelphia a little bit less than the other two, but all of them struggled.
Yeah, and you see what's going on around the league with all these closers blowing leads like Jansen and Kimbrel.
Yeah.
The guy Finnegan in Washington blew a 5-run lead tonight against Arizona.
Yeah, I saw it. Walk-off. I saw the walk-off home run. Look, this is why I defend Clay Holmes with the Yankees. I'm not saying he's great. I'm not saying he's someone of course, Cardiac Clay is his nickname, and well deserved. But we make it seem like, oh, there's just these better options left and right. There aren't. He was an all-star. He's pitched fairly well. He's got great movement on the sinker. Like, you're hard pressed to find guys who are better. Like, that's what we don't understand. We don't look around the league. You're right. You look around the league. Kimbrel is closing games for the Orioles. You tell me you trust him? I mean, I know he had a good stretch, but I don't trust him. Already lost it. Soto was pitching for them in the end of the game yesterday.
Yeah. Hayter gave up a 3-run homer tonight to Michael Taylor.
Yeah, he's been bad all year, Hayter.
I'll still take Diaz. I mean, I know he's had his ups and downs.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
The thing about the Buto thing, it's funny. I talked to you last night about this. It's fascinating. I can't believe they got, you know, the guy Kikuchi has an ERA, a lifetime ERA of almost 5.
Yeah.
And they got like 3 good young players.
No, I
just think that he doesn't want to give up a ton for these young starters. I think that's why they're looking to move this guy back into. I think it's just cheaper to get a relief pitcher. And the thing with Buto, it's funny. He pitched Thursday night, right, against Atlanta. He comes in, he pitches like, he gets nine batters, 3 outs, saves the game for them. But then you can't use him for 3 games after that anyway.
Yeah.
So what's really the difference whether he does that or he pitches every 5th day? I mean, you're kind of splitting hairs.
I disagree.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I know. I understand what you're saying, that it feels the same. Well, one, it's a couple of days, not a full 5 days. Two, his ability to get out of jams and do that. Not many pitchers can do that. He saves the bullpen on nights when he's like that. They were in a 6-man rotation without him for the most part. And you were expecting certainly to be in a 6-man rotation with Kikuchi coming back. With Senga coming back. But yeah, you're right about Kikuchi, by the way. Now, the Astros farm system has not been that great. Right, that was part of there was a conversation last year when they traded Verlander, when the Mets traded Verlander back to him, that, you know, their top prospect really wasn't one of the top prospects in baseball. He just happened to be the best prospect for the Astros, and their farm system hasn't been deemed to be that good. But still, That's the trade as of right now. That is maybe shockwaves is a bit strong, but that's the trade that's kind of having people scratch their heads throughout baseball at the moment. There have been a bunch of trades where people got more than expected or less than expected. I think the Randy Arozarena trade was one that people thought was underwhelming. The return and the Kikuchi one is one that people are shocked with the amount of top-level prospects that Kikuchi landed in Houston for. So I get it. The starting pitching market is expensive. It's pricey. You're going to give up big prospects. Buddha has shown you to be a weapon in the bullpen. In today's game, he can pitch in two or three games in a seven game. He could pitch in two games, maybe even three in a five game set. It's different than being a starting pitcher. It is. I'm not saying it's any more important or less important, but he's also been better in the bullpen than he was as a starting pitcher. I remember in 2009 for the Yankees, Phil Hughes went to the bullpen and was better in the bullpen. Now, he wasn't quite the three-inning variety, but he was able to go two or a little bit more than one. But he came in, his velocity ticked up, his stuff ticked up. He was better in the bullpen than he was in the rotation. Buddha's been better in the bullpen than he has been in the rotation, plus the weapon he is. I disagree. Once you try something and it works, why go away? Like, that's all. Like, when you do something and you're like, let's put him in the bullpen, and then it is a success on such a level that we're seeing from Buddha. Why would you want to go back? Leave it. It's working. It's working. I want to keep him in the bullpen. I don't want to move him back to the rotation. I don't. Go out there and trade for a starter. They have prospects. Go trade for a starter. Take on money. Do whatever you have to do. That's what I'd be focusing on. I'd be focusing on getting a starter from outside, keeping Buddha exactly where he is. Steve in Brooklyn. What's up, Steve?
What's up, Chris? I'm a Yankee fan, but I've long thought about the Mets situation for the last couple of weeks, and it really felt like David Stearns, you mentioned his offseason plan. It was pretty obvious what the plan was and is.
Yep.
And I really thought that unless the team got to, like, 10 games over and really pushed the envelope, that he should still stick with his guns. These one-year guys are having, you know, very good seasons. Minaya, JD, Sevy, Bader.
Mm-hmm.
You got to sell. But at this point, I guess, like you said, you really can't sell. So they kind of, I know a few weeks ago it was mentioned, they kind of may dip their toes in buying and selling, which now I really can't say to do that. But there should be an avenue where maybe try to get a starter that has control next year. If that's Blake Snell, if that's Max Scherzer, if that's Jack.
Right.
I think Jack Flaherty's not on the control next year. I think he's on the one-year deal.
Yes.
So I wonder if they could get maybe one or two of those guys and then even offset that by trading away a Minaya or Quintana. While their value is pretty high. Look at the Kikuchi trade today.
Yeah.
It's such a seller's market. I'm sure Stearns is not thrilled about having to buy when he could trade these guys and really make a push next season for everything. So they really are in such an interesting spot that I guess tomorrow's pretty big. And it goes back to one other team, the Texas Rangers. They traded Michael Lorenzen today. It was nothing major, but are they going to buy or sell? They're 3.5 out of the division. But Max Scherzer and David Robertson and Kirby Yates could be three guys they get some really good pieces for.
Yeah.
As a Yankee fan, D-Rob was always one of my favorite Yankees.
Yep.
And the Yankees' bullpen situation, really, a D-Rob would be perfect. And I don't see – I'm not saying they're going to get David Robertson, obviously, but I'd love to know tomorrow how it's going to shake out. I saw today that it was mentioned, obviously not happening, but Nestor or Tommy Edman was floating around. And that made a lot of sense. But I know if they do re-sign Soto, positionally next year it's going to be whoever's here is here, and that's it. They're not spending a nickel elsewhere.
Yep.
So tomorrow for both teams, it's very interesting to see how Cashman and Stearns handle it. And it's just such a seller's market that it's weird to see how who becomes available. And there's one thing I wanted to touch upon for the Yankees. Josh Bell got waived. They're trying to get that money. Someone's going to claim it. No one's going to touch that. I really feel like Josh Bell, if the Yankees pick him up, he's obviously he's a butcher at first, but I really, really feel strongly that he could have like a Glenn Allen Hill type month and a half for the Yankees, switch hitter. And I think 1 through 5, pretty much where they're at right now as of today, really should be Soto leading off, Judge second, Wells third, Stanton fourth, Jazz fifth, and then you go from there. So
yeah, I mean, I don't hate that. As long as Verdugo's hitting, I don't mind him hitting clean, hitting leadoff. But yeah, I've been proposing that. I think they prefer Judge leading off as opposed to Soto. I wanted Soto leading off, but because he's on base and walking is his the name of his game. But and thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm into that. I'm into that lineup, but that's a secondary thing. Let's just focus on the trade deadline right now. And yeah, D-Rob or some other names. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Yankees make a trade for a reliever that's not really being talked about, that we haven't targeted or been on lists or podcasts have been going on and on about for the last 3 weeks. Like, it might just be a name we haven't heard of. D-Rob is kind of one of them. And they definitely need to add pitching, both starting and relieving. But yeah, with the Mets, I get it. The value is high for starting pitching, and that Kikuchi trade has probably ruined a lot. That's probably why the Yankees haven't announced or haven't made that final deal with Flaherty yet, because Kikuchi's deal just was like, oh, well, look what he's getting. Flaherty has a better track record than Kikuchi. But whatever the case may be, when it comes to the Mets, I understand what this guy wanted to do. I understand what Stearns wanted to do. And I totally agree with you. I think Stearns, I don't want to say pissed off because he has a chance to win, but I think Stearns is probably in the back of his mind somewhat disappointed that he's not going to be able to do what he thought he was going to be able to do, which is trade J.D. Martinez, trade Severino. Think about what Severino would get on the market right now if that's what Kikuchi's going to get. Severino's been an ace for the New York Yankees for years. Severino's having a good year. But that's what he wanted to do. That's what he had visions of. Maybe Minaya has a good first half. I can trade him. I can trade Severino. I can trade Quintana. I can trade J.D. Martinez. I can trade a bunch of people and stack this farm system going forward, have some young players we like, and then go out and spend Steve Cohen's money in the right places. Maybe a Juan Soto, a big contract, right? That's the dream. Trade. That was the dream heading into the season. Have a fun year, ultimately fall short around the deadline, trade away all your one-year assets, stock your farm system, attack next year with youth and money. That was the plan. But the best laid plans don't always get you, you know how the rest of it goes. And right now they're winning. And the offense is far better than you thought. Even when at the start of the year, you thought the offense would be their strength, right? Heading into the season, the starting rotation was probably going to be their weakness. They made some additions to the bullpen, but weren't as long as Diaz was going to be Diaz, you felt like the bullpen would be okay. The offense was going to carry you. And to start the year, the rotation was by far their best weapon. The bullpen started hot with, you know, Reed Garrett and all that. And the offense was dragging them down. And for the last 2 months, they've been the most dynamic offense in all the sport. I got to go attack this thing. I think he will. His dream of selling is over. So why not buy big? And try, if you're going to have to forego your plans of doing all you can to build some sort of, you know, magical farm system that will carry them to the end of time, if that sort of is gone by the wayside, why not go the other way and go out there and try and win now? I don't want to move Buto. I want to get a starting pitcher in trade. I don't want to move Buto.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
High in the air toward deep left field. No doubt about this one. Over the picnic area. It's gone. The sixth home run of the year for David Wright.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Nick McMonagle here with you. And I'm sitting here at 3:40 in the morning wearing one of the more ridiculous shirts I've ever worn in my life. I was in Walmart the other day, I guess like a week ago now, with my son. And he insisted I get this shirt. I don't know why. I guess just because it's funny, but And I remember Craig had a version of this shirt that was way cooler. But I am currently wearing a Team USA soccer shirt. I suppose, I don't even know if it is really a Team USA soccer shirt. It's the Tasmanian Devil performing a header with a big soccer ball above his head in full USA Team USA soccer uniform. And it's enormous. It's the whole shirt is the Tasmanian Devil playing soccer for Team USA. I don't know. Now, Craig Carton had a kick-ass Tasmanian Devil Rangers sweatshirt. And I think there was like another character on it. I can't remember. But it was definitely the Tasmanian Devil wearing like in the full Rangers uniform, pads, skates, everything. Stick. It's awesome. This one, not so much. But we were going through the aisles of Walmart, and they came across a small section, believe it or not, where they had t-shirts for us big people. And when my son saw this one, he was like, you have to get it, you have to get it. Please, Dad, please get it. I'm like, why? Why do you care what I wear? Please, you got to get it. It's so awesome. I'm like, okay. So I got the Taz, and he doesn't even watch the Tasmanian Devil. I don't think we really watched Looney Tunes ever. I mean, I don't even know. The only reason he knows, I'm not thinking. He's watched, obviously, what's the Michael Jordan movie where he plays the cartoon basketball? What am I losing my mind here? Alex, what's the LeBron James just made a crappy remake of it?
Oh, Space Jam.
Space Jam, thank you. So, yeah, he's seen the Tasmanian Devil play he's never watched the cartoons, but we have watched Space Jam. So when he saw the shirt, he made me get it. So I'm wearing it today. I don't know why. I'll bring it to Disney, I'm sure. I'll wear it to Disney. And again, if any of you are planning in the near future, Christmas time, whenever, next February, planning on going to Disney, hit me up. My wife can help you with all of that. It's a free service. Helps you plan the day, get you through this new lightning lane multi-pass system that's what I do. I'm worried about the lightning lane multi-pass thing we've been going over, and what restaurants we're going to book, and whether or not we should get the food plan. Thank God we got some good Yankee games lately, because I was losing it. I forget which game it was. One of the blow-up Rodon, so it's been a few weeks now because he's had two good starts in a row. But I guess the last blow-up Rodon game, I was sitting in my living room. My son had, at the pool that day, we have like these metal kind of tables by the pool with metal chairs, around the pool to hang out with, sit down. And I put my glasses down, and he moved them or knocked them, whatever, and they scratched up against the metal table, and I have little scratches on the lenses right in my line of vision. So I was like annoyed by that because my glasses now have all kinds of scratches on it. I was sitting in my living room. They were going absolutely nuts. The witching hour is a Mike Friend. As far as I know, now I know they say it during the show during the week, the 8 hours of straight football, the Red Zone. The guy comes on and says, now it's time for the witching hour. I've always thought that was a Mike Francesa made up thing. Maybe it's, I guess Jimmy the Greek used to say it during the old days of whatever that show was that Mike worked on for all those years with Brent Musburger and Jimmy the Greek. But I always thought the witching hour was a Mike Francesa thing about the score changes from, 3 to 4 p.m. of the 1 o'clock games. The witching hour, my friends, is from 6:30 to 8 p.m. when your kids are absolute monsters and they can't be stopped. That's the witching hour. They can be angels all day, do everything you ask, be perfect. They finish dinner and it's time to settle down, brush your teeth, take a bath, get ready for bed. The craziness is nonstop, especially with two boys close in age. It's insane. And I remember I was sitting on the couch trying to get them together. It's 7 o'clock, starting the Yankee game. Out comes Carlos Rodon. He gets lit up in the first inning. They're going crazy, screaming around, hitting me with things, throwing things at me. And I was like, I got to walk out of here. I got to just get up and I have to walk out. And I intend to come back, but I honestly don't know. That's how it felt in that moment. So to have games like this the last few nights, to actually watch them score runs, to watch them come through in big spots, to watch Aaron Judge hit moonshot home runs, to see Juan Soto, and Juan Soto, my friends, is a Yankee, to watch him do what he's doing right now, and then to watch the newest Yankee, Jazz Chisholm, hit home runs. It sounds like this.
Chisholm hits it in the air to deep left. Back to the wall goes Hayes. Up against the wall, leaps, and that ball is gone. Jazz Chisholm right in the front row. Oh, how about that? Smooth Jazz. His first one as a Yankee and number 14 on the season. And Chisholm hits one in the air, deep to right. Castellanos turns around. There it goes. Adios, amigo. Smooth Jazz. Jazz Chisholm. His second home run of the night.
Smooth Jazz from the smooth Ricky Ricardo. I like that. Smooth Jazz is nice. That's actually pretty good. And he's been good. He looks smooth at third base. He looks more smooth at third base than on the swings. I mean, the swings you kind of expected, but third base, he got thrusted into it. He looked good at third. No problem with that. Play him at third. And you know how me and Marco just went over it? Add. It's trade deadline day. Mets need a starter. Yankees need a starter. Back end of the bullpen piece. Mets need bullpen too. And more offense. Keep it coming. And don't send anyone away. Do not trade away Gleyber Torres. Do not trade away Alex Verdugo. Don't trade anyone. Add. And if you don't hit, you're on the bench. Perfect. Jim in Hackettstown. What's up, Jim?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I got three points. So I'll try to make them real quick.
Yeah.
Number one, I can't believe how dumb these managers are on baseball. If I ever hear another talk show host talk about how smart they are, I'm going to lose my mind.
How smart the managers are?
I don't know. Are you a Yankee fan?
I certainly am, yes.
Okay. So, you obviously, you know, Stanton can't walk from here to there without getting hurt, correct?
Right.
When he got hurt, he was jogging. I don't hear he was running. No, he wasn't running.
Well, he doesn't run anyway. Doesn't run. His nose doesn't run. His refrigerator doesn't run. There's no more running with Giancarlo Stanton.
So what does Aaron Boone do?
You're talking about pinch running for him?
Yeah, exactly. Why would you leave him on base? That's baseball one-on-one. Why would you do that?
Yeah, I mean,
When the game is either out of reach, the Yankees or against him, you take him out of the game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I thought the same thing. I don't disagree with you. The one thing I'll say is eventually he's going to have to run the bases. Like, I understand your point. Why do it when you don't need to? End of the game, up by a bunch of runs, put in somebody. I get it. I think also in the bottom of the ninth, he was looking to put guys out in the field and give some of the fielders the rest of the game off. And if he used a guy to just be the DH pinch runner, he wouldn't have that available to take guys off the field in the ninth inning. But I don't disagree. But at some point, he's going to have to run the bases. He's just going to have to.
Well, he never does run. I mean, we just admitted
that. Well, I agree with that. Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, exactly. So at some point, he's going to have to stand there and jog the bases.
Okay. But he just missed the last 28 games anyway. So
I get it. I don't think you're wrong. I'm just trying to give you the counter argument. I think eventually, if he gets hurt rounding the bases while jogging, I mean, then what are you going to do? Like, he's got to be able to do that. Otherwise, he's going to get hurt again, whether it's today, tomorrow, or the next day.
Walk to first. You hit the ball and you.
No, I get it. Yeah, but what I'm saying is they can't constantly pinch run for him. He's going to have to be on the base and possibly run the bases.
Right. He needed his back. I wasn't saying take him out at the beginning of the game, but right. He had his back. It was a ninth inning. There was no reason to let him run at that point.
I told you the only reason is they only had outfield. They wanted to take guys off the field and give them a break. But you're right. I don't disagree. You're right.
Okay. Second point on managers. I love Aaron Judge. I say he's the best player in baseball. Mm-hmm. If he's not the best player in baseball, he's certainly having the best season. Would you agree with that?
If he's not the best player in baseball, he's having the what? Best season?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the best. He's the best hitter in all of baseball. Let's just make it simple.
Okay. Great. Well, we agree on that.
Yes.
So, I mean, it would drove me crazy when the Yankees were playing Boston and they kept on pitching to Ortiz. I mean, if you don't have to pitch to Aaron Judge, you don't pitch to him.
Yeah.
I mean, even the Met manager knew that. But all these other guys are pitching to him. Makes
no
sense.
A couple of things. Listen, I don't disagree with you. The difference is, well, at least last night, you've got Wheeler on the mound, who's a Cy Young candidate, as opposed to Quintana for the Mets. I mean, you're not going to tell, like, Wheeler has self-pride. Wheeler's not going to just say, I'm not pitching around anybody. I'm Zach Wheeler. And the offense has scored, you know, 40 runs, and Wells has been a legitimate threat, as opposed to J.D. Davis, who was hitting behind Judge against the Mets. But I said the same thing, because everyone tells me how smart Alex Cora is. And thank you for the call, Jim. Alex Cora just, oh my God, he manages circles around Judge. Boone. Manages circles around Boone. Oh my, it's so embarrassing. Every time the Yankees play, Cora manages circles around Boone. Well, he pitched to Judge in every big spot, and Judge continually hurt him. I mean, oh, he pushes all the right buttons. Yeah, he brought in Kelly in game one to face Judge, gave up a home run to him, and then gave up a home run to Wells. We kill Aaron Boone for bringing in relievers to give home runs. Alex Cora did not have a good weekend in Fenway. You can say whatever you want. He pitched to Judge in every big spot and lost in almost every one. Judge killed them, and he continued to pitch to him. But Alex Cora is this great manager. Boone's an idiot.
Okay.
All right. He's a good manager, no doubt. And he probably is better than Boone. But the idea that Boone gets, like, you know, oh my God, it's embarrassing. What's embarrassing? Pitching the Judge in every big spot? Finishing in last place twice in the last 3 years? How many times has Aaron Boone finished in last place? How many times has Alex Cora? 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. All right, so our favorite guy, sports reporter, is back. He's getting on me for not wanting to move Gleyber Torres. DFA DJ can't trust India. You say it. It's a stroke of genius. Torres is 28 in the prime of his career. You're ripping him for half the season. You manic with each game. You manic. You are manic with each game. Try meds, man. No, I'm good. I don't need meds. And here's the thing. I appreciate you're sitting there listening to every word. I can't treat the show like I'm talking to someone who's listening every single second of the entire show, because that's not how the show is consumed by 90% of the audience. But you're a sports reporter, so you know that. You know exactly how the show is consumed, who's listening, and how they listen. And so repeating yourself is part of the business. Listen to radio shows. We repeat ourselves. And I'm not saying it's a genius. I'm saying everybody I know. I was listening to Keith before. Wants him traded. I take caller after caller. Wants him traded. Add pieces. Trade Gleyber Torres. I see it all over the place. People want Gleyber Torres moved for anything. Get rid of him. He's a bum. 28 in the prime of his career. That's your argument? That I'm an idiot? Or I'm making it seem like it's a bigger deal to not want to trade Gleyber because he's 28 in the prime of his career? And by the way, I have killed him all year. And all year I've said, don't trade Gleyber. Go look. Go back. Read all the stories. Go search WFN, C-Mac, Gleyber. Every single story is me saying, don't trade Gleyber. Every single one. I wanted him traded in the offseason when he had value. As he has a terrible year, I don't like trading people with no value. So that's why I've been against trading Gleyber Torres all year long, even while I've killed him. Because he's deserved to be killed for his lack of hustle, for his inept defense, and for his inability to hit this year. That's changed over the last month. He has hit. And I don't care how many pieces they add, I don't want to sell them. People are talking about trading Verdugo. I don't want to trade anyone. I want to add.